going to begin with a confession. Seems appropriate on Ash Wednesday to begin with a confession. That, as you know, this is my usual confessional spot, standing up here, speaking to you all. I take Jesus' words about nothing that's done in secret will not be proclaimed from the rooftops very seriously, so I think I might as well get in there first, and you can hear all my secrets from me directly. The confession is, this is not the sermon I planned to preach. In fact, it's a hasty rewrite, and I can honestly say it's hot off the press. The last thing I did before vestry prayers was print off this sermon. I had a night of, there's something else I need to say. My original sermon was about practicing our piety before others, or rather not, that phrase from the gospel. But I've had a different phrase reverberating around my brain for the last 20 hours, probably about the same time that I finished writing the first sermon, Sermon 1.0. We're now on Sermon 2.0, hopefully. This is the one I should be preaching. Normally, the phrase that hits me every Ash Wednesday is the one you will hear as ash is imposed on our foreheads. Remember that you are but dust, and to dust you shall return. Turn from your sin and be faithful to Christ. Now that's even more ubiquitous at the moment on social media because of a misprint on the front of a bulletin that says, remember you are but dust with two T's. Which makes everyone laugh. But anyway, that's got a resonance that's too disturbing for me anyway to go too much into, and I don't want to go back to that, despite the fact I do think it's helpful to have that reminder of our mortality and our time here and needing to make the most of the time that we are given, not just for ourselves, but for the world around. But it's the reading from the book of the prophet Joel that hit me this morning. And in fact, yesterday, and caused me not so much a sleepless night, a slightly more restlessness than I might normally have. Rend your heart, not your clothing, says the prophet. Or in the translation I know, rend your hearts and not your garments, which to me seems slightly more poetic. I don't know why. Anyway, there's something here I can't get away from. And I think it's because of something I heard yesterday at the downtown service providers, where Peggy was yesterday morning as we started our day too early, but I had lots of coffee, so it helped. The downtown service providers, or DSP, are a group made up of, obviously, service providers in the downtown, but that means groups such as Downtown Victoria Business Association, VIC PD, Island Health, faith groups, including us, food banks, including the Food Bank at St. John's, GVAT, Kool-Aid, Our Place, the Aboriginal Coalition to End Homelessness, AIDS Vancouver Island, and other groups that are working around this downtown corridor. We gather each month to share ideas and resources, to talk about what's happening in our neighborhoods, especially around Pandora, the 900 block is a focus at the moment, and to learn from one another. And this wonderful, caring, dedicated group of people had a wide range of discussions yesterday. I'm always impressed to hear the care and concern that they bring to the issues, the needs of our downtown population. But one member of the group said something that really stuck with me. He said, though the problems of homelessness, mental health, and addictions has not increased, the tenor, the feel of the downtown has. And this is creating, and this is the phrase, a compassion fatigue. It's not a phrase I've heard for a long time. And in fact, when I last heard it, it was so obviously an excuse for not actually taking action. But this time it was a very real reflection of how our society seems to be. A lack of empathy, a frustration at the social structures we have. Compassion fatigue. And it seemed to me to be an honest appraisal of many of the voices around at present. There is a lack of compassionate response and empathetic listening to the stories of the most vulnerable in our society at the moment, whether it be the poor, the marginalized, the indigenous peoples of these lands, those excluded because of their sexuality or gender identity or race or employment status. We have created a society where it's everyone for themselves, and somehow those who don't play the game, Those who don't succeed, those who aren't on the ladder, deserve their fate. Homelessness, poverty, addiction, sickness, whatever. It's not a new phenomenon. 150 years ago, General Booth, founder of the Salvation Army in Victorian London, was talking about the myth of the undeserving poor, that somehow those who are excluded deserve their fate. Which leads me to sin. Well, lots of things lead me to sin, but that's another kind of confession that I'm not going to do here. Sin. Sin, as I've said before, is often misunderstood. We think about sin as bad things I've done, or a kind of being sinful as a genetic state passed on to us, an inheritance of being essentially wicked, as evidenced by the sadly unquestioned doctrine of original sin. As a sidebar, I'd like to say I don't believe in original sin. They've all been done before. Sin, however, in the tradition and the teaching of Scripture, is not doing bad things. Sin is a breakdown in relationships. It's a tear. It's the brokenness of our relationships with one another, the brokenness of societal bonds, the brokenness of our relationship with the earth, with our leaders, with the divine. And it's sin which is at the heart of compassion fatigue, a brokenness in our ties to one another, a lack of love, a lack of relationship. So I feel our calling this Lent is to seek a return to right relationship. We can distance ourselves from one another if we live in our heads, if we turn people into problems or issues, the homelessness problem, the LGBTQ issue, or such like. And Western society is prone to do that, to intellectualize, to think rather than feel or to do. I'm going to pivot here a moment. Has anyone ever seen The Jazz Singer? The movie? I'm not talking about the original. I know none of you are old enough to have seen Al Jolson in the original version. The version I love is the musical version with Neil Diamond in, and Laurence Olivier playing his father, the Hebrew cantor at the synagogue. And the Hebrew cantor is bereft by his son's decision to be a rock star. And when they meet at the synagogue, he grabs the lapel of his coat and tears it as a sign of the brokenness of their relationship, the rending of their relationship. It's a powerful symbol of brokenness and a poignant part of the movie. And it's part of a long Hebrew tradition of physically seeking to cut oneself away from things which break us by making this tear in one's clothing. And it's that, not the jazz singer, but the Hebrew tradition, to which our scripture refers to today. Rend your heart and not your garments. I believe this Ash Wednesday we are being called to have our hearts broken, to allow ourselves to feel the pain of our neighborhoods, of the lonely and of the excluded, the oppressed, here and throughout the world. We, as God's people, all people are God's people. We are being called to feel again, not to just think in terms of policies and governments, important as they may be, but in terms of people and relationships. In the marking of a Holy Lent this year, I encourage you to spend time with your feelings and to allow them not to overwhelm you, but to inspire you to action, to engage heart and head in order to tackle the deep sin of our world, the brokenness of our relationships. As one modern Ash Wednesday service litany says, we repent of the sin of greed, consumerism, materialism, classism, militarism, consumerism, of discrimination, racism, sexism, torture, and executions. We repent of the sin of destroying the oceans, the skies, and creation. We repent of the sin of silence and apathy in the face of these horrors. Silence and apathy are more often the enemy of real change than the active work of evil. What Paul calls the principalities and powers of this world go unchecked because these things don't actively affect us. Or when we don't feel for and with our fellow human beings, in an effort to preserve ourselves, perhaps, from the storm of emotion that injustice can bring in our hearts. I encourage us to commit to feeling, not for its own sake, but that in rending our heart and not our clothing, we connect again with the web of humanity, with the weaving together of creation. I encourage you to commit to feeling, to heartbreaking, that we may be spurred into action in the work of repentance, a deep and profound change of direction for ourselves and for our world. And if this threatens to overwhelm us, I leave you with a quote from the ancient commentary on the Hebrew scriptures called the Talmud. Do not be daunted by the enormity of the world's grief. Do justly now. Love mercy now. Walk humbly now. You are not obligated to complete the work, but neither are you free to abandon it.